Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Hal Turner Show, live from metropolitan New York City in the United States of America, coming to you on global high-frequency radio stations, WBCQ and WRMI. Together, those two stations carry this show to more than 70 countries around the world. Inside the United States, I'm on KYAH, 540 AM, Utah's Talk Authority. The show also streams live from my internet website, HalTurnerRadioShow.com. We talk about news and issues of the day on this show, more often than not, news that the mass media just doesn't report. If you'd like to call this show to express your opinion about news, the telephone number you can dial, country code 1-201-771-3013. Ladies and gentlemen, it is 9 o'clock p.m. here in the East Coast of the United States, this 18th day of January 2022, and the world stands on a precipice overlooking an abyss. There is so much going on, and it is so dangerous that I don't see how we're going to get around this. I begin tonight by reporting to you that Russia has withdrawn from further negotiations at the Organization for Security and Cooperation in Europe. Russia has begun pulling embassy and consulate staff from Ukraine, and Russia made clear today there will be no natural gas traveling through the Yamal Europe pipeline in February, and no natural gas flowing through the pipelines in Ukraine in February. The Russian Federation will not conduct further discussions in the OSCE regarding their proposals for security guarantees. We found this out this morning from the Russian ambassador to the OSCE, Alexander Lukashevich. The ambassador said, quote, "I want to say that we did not, nor are we going to, hold any discussions on our initiatives at the OSCE. This is an amorphous structure that has no international legal status. This organization has neither a charter nor a founding document, and is in no position to influence the situation in the Euro-Atlantic region in any way. However, initially in the 1990s, the function of conducting negotiations and ensuring the trajectories of Europe's development was included in the OSCE's mandate. Now, hardly any significant politician can say that the OSCE is capable of influencing NATO's behavioral habits or the European Union's hardline policy toward Russia. It's the other way around, actually," unquote. Now, you folks remember that on December 17th, the Russian Foreign Ministry released a draft agreement on security guarantees between Russia and the United States, and another draft agreement on ensuring the security of Russia and NATO member states. Consultations between the Russians and the United States took place in Geneva on January 10th, followed by a meeting of the Russian NATO Council in Brussels on January 12th, and one session of the OSCE's Permanent Council in Vienna on January 13th. Thus far, diplomacy has not worked at all. Today, 18 Russian people, mostly the children and wives of Russian diplomats, boarded buses in Ukraine and embarked on what will be a 15-hour drive home to Moscow from Kiev, Ukraine. About 30 more diplomats and staff followed from both Kiev and from Russia's consulate in Lviv, which is in western Ukraine. Diplomats at two other Russian consulates have been told to prepare to leave Ukraine. As diplomatic efforts continue to fail, it is pretty clear to most rational people that Russia is preparing for the situation to change to something other than diplomacy. Now, here in the United States and over in Europe, the highly skilled college graduates that are employed in our governments seem to me to fail to see the obvious. Instead, these diplomats and staff are wondering out loud if this removal of diplomats is some type of a bluff by Russia. Now, you guys know what NPCs are, right? Non-playable characters. The term NPCs comes from video games. Y'all remember Pac-Man, right? You would use the stick in the game to steer the Pac-Man to gobble up things, and every once in a while you'd hit a little something or other, and this little blue guy would pop up, and he would chase the Pac-Man and try to eat him. The blue guy is an NPC, non-playable character. He pops up. He runs somebody else's script. You can't interact with him. You can't reason with him. You can't negotiate with him or even live peacefully with him. They have a set script. That's the only thing they do. They do nothing else. Well, in real life, we have humans that are also now NPCs. There are people who cannot think for themselves. They run somebody else's script in their head. And we've got a lot of NPCs in government, and in particular in the State Department and the Pentagon. And apparently these NPCs who staff the State Department and the Pentagon think that the removal of diplomats is some type of a bluff because they can only think the way they themselves actually are. In other words, they seem to think this might be a head fake because that's what they would do. Now, I spoke to a very seasoned diplomat about this today. It's a guy I met during my years with the FBI Joint Terrorism Task Force, where I handled national security, terrorism, and foreign counterintelligence. And this diplomat told me, he said, "Hal, when high-ranking diplomatic staff are of such dishonest character that their sly thinking ignores the obvious, the world is in big trouble," unquote. Now, in related news, Russia's natural gas giant Gazprom reports that there is no booking of natural gas transit through the Yamal Europe pipeline for February, and no booking of natural gas through any Ukraine pipelines for February either. So it appears Europe will be getting zero natural gas from Russia just as winter reaches its worst point. Now, you know, folks, I want to insert here that maybe the nitwits at the U.S. State Department or their dingbat counterparts at NATO can explain this as some type of head fake when the people of Europe are freezing to death without gas to heat their homes. Stupid is as stupid does. And by the looks of how they have botched this Russia-Ukraine situation to date, it really doesn't seem to be any stretch to me to regard U.S. State Department personnel and NATO staff as a special kind of stupid. Now, I am not the only one who sees this situation falling apart fast. Bonds have begun plunging. The money people already see very clearly what's coming, and Ukrainian bonds are plunging in markets all over the world. And if this wasn't good enough, Britain decided they were going to stir the pot, right? the British, they're ever willing to stir the pot of other people's troubles. Britain announced today they are sending troops to Ukraine. It was on the front page of most British newspapers today. In addition, both British and U.S. military cargo planes are now engaged in an almost, an air ferry operation to bring weapons into Ukraine. C-17 aircraft are landing at a very increased pace in Ukraine. You know, the British may want to send a whole slew more troops to offset what NATO is going to get from places like Germany, because the German army seems a bit less than, you know, manly. Have you seen any German army vehicles lately? Some of them are driving around with wooden unicorns attached to the sides of the truck. Big, white, happy unicorns. You know, utopia. And you know, come to think of it, the American military just doesn't seem to be what it used to be either. You may recall it was reported by the Washington Times and numerous other media outlets across the country that cadets from Arizona State's ROTC program recently donned their Army combat uniforms along with red high heels to, you know, help raise awareness for sexual assault and harassment. And I got to tell you, the women in the U.S. Army don't seem to be very military either. I got video showing them do one of those coordinated dance routines in a military barracks. And the Twitter user that put up the video titled it, quote, "We're doomed," unquote. You know, if this is what constitutes NATO, we might actually win a war with Russia. The Russian troops might be too busy laughing at us to actually fight. But such is the state of affairs in the world. Now, there is extraordinarily bad news. Way huge bad news. And it is, oh my gosh, I can't even believe it. I have to report this. The Ukraine army today opened fire against a city called Spartak. It's in the oblast, the state of Donetsk. And as most of you know, two states in eastern Ukraine, Donetsk and Luhansk, have been wanting to leave Ukraine ever since the year 2014, when the European Union and the United States financed, organized, and supplied the protests and riots and civil unrest that overthrew the Ukraine government in 2014. Europe and America overthrew the democratically elected government of Ukraine in 2014. Their president at the time, democratically elected president Viktor Yanukovych, had to flee the country. And after he left, the government collapsed and the U.S. and the European Union installed a puppet government. Shortly after that happened, Crimea, the people on Crimea, voted in a referendum to leave Ukraine and return to Russia. And historically, Crimea was only part of Ukraine for about 50 years. Crimea was given to Ukraine by former Soviet chairman Khrushchev, in one of his drunken states, decided he was going to give Russian Crimea to Ukraine, and did. But for the 300 years prior to that, it was always the Russian Crimea. So anyway, the people in Crimea are all Russian, and they saw what happened up in Kiev. The government got overthrown. They didn't want to be part of that crap. They voted to leave. Russia passed legislation accepting Crimea back into Russia. Crimea is now Russian again, all right? Except the European Union and the United States refused to accept the results of that referendum. They say it was fraud, they say it was rigged, and they are not going to accept it. And that's when they started imposing sanctions on Russia, and things have gone downhill ever since. They took a pause in 2016. That's when Donald Trump won the election. And all the troubles in Ukraine stopped. It's like magic. Joe Biden steals the U.S. presidency in November 2020, and the switch got thrown in Ukraine again. All the trouble started up again January of last year. Much, much more when I get back. Stay tuned.
Let's face it, the virus has changed us. We all want to get back to life, back to normal, a not so long ago time when we could enjoy each other's company. We could hug, hold hands, sing, and just be together. That's why we made the Pfizer mRNA genetic-based therapy and subsequent boosters. It doesn't stop you from spreading the virus, nor does it prevent you from contracting the virus. And it may or may not lessen the effect of the virus once contracted, but it makes you feel good about yourself. And it lifts you into a higher social class, even if it's only a state of mind. The rare but possible side effects from taking the Pfizer mRNA genetic-based therapy during this clinical trial include but are not limited to rapid heartbeat, difficulty breathing, wheezing, respiratory distress, swelling of the throat, dizziness, generalized rash, hives, damage to nerve cells, muscle weakness, paralysis, clinical depression, infertility, miscarriage, anaphylaxis, thrombosis, myocarditis, pericarditis, blood clots, and in very rare cases, death. But hey, you'll get to carry around a cool vaccination card that can get you into businesses where you can wear your mask and social distance with other possible virus carriers and spreaders. Here's to living. Here's to Pfizer mRNA genetic-based therapy.
p.m. here in the East Coast of the United States. Hal Turner back with you. The Ukrainian army opened fire against Spartak Donetsk today. They fired 120-millimeter mortars at the village, the city. Now, ladies and gentlemen, this is not a military base. This is not a military target. This, people live there. It's like a large village. And they bombed civilians. The Ukrainian army did this. And this is what the Ukrainians have been doing on again, off again, since 2014. They are firing at the homes of civilians in Luhansk and Donetsk, because they view those civilians as traitors to Ukraine for wanting to leave. And so they bombed them. Now, there were skirmishes between the state militias of Luhansk and Donetsk and the Ukrainian army. 14,000 people died in those skirmishes over the years from 2014. And it wasn't until Russia started sending in little green men who were fully trained, fully equipped troops in army uniforms, but had no identification on them, no patches, no flags, no names. They were just little green men that helped the militia of Luhansk and Donetsk fight off the Ukrainian army, fought them to a standstill. And then when Trump won election here in the United States, all those troubles over in Ukraine stopped for 4 years. Peace and quiet. As soon as Joe Biden got into office, wham, all this trouble started. And in the last year, it's gotten a lot worse. So I just wanted to let you know, the Ukrainian army opened fire with 120-millimeter mortars against Spartak Donetsk today. You don't hear about these atrocities from the mass media. All we're hearing from the mass media is Russian aggression. It's bullcrap. All right. Last week on this radio show, I reported to my audience that at least 7 trains full of Russian troops, tanks, artillery, and armor were visually verified as traveling westward in Russia from the far east and from central Russia toward the west. This morning, for subscribers to my website, I was able to provide video showing these tanks, artillery, trucks, armored personnel carriers being offloaded and driving in Belarus, the country to the northwest of Ukraine. And the license plates on these military vehicles show that they came from Russia's 25th region. Well, where the heck is that? It's a place called Primorsky Krai. K-R-A-I. Primorsky Krai, ladies and gentlemen, is all the way out east by Vladivostok on the Pacific Ocean. Russia moved these combat divisions by train 9,793 kilometers. Yes, you heard that right. 9,793 kilometers from Primorsky Krai, Russia, to just outside of Minsk, Belarus, a place called, Kalajiski, Belarus. To give you an idea of how big Russia is and how far they moved these troops, 9,793 kilometers, if you drove your car from Miami, Florida to Barrow, Alaska, it's only 6,800 kilometers. These troops traveled 9,700 kilometers and were still in Russia. That's how big the country is. Anyway, I have video on my website for subscribers. They can see it. Now, a lot of people have been saying of this whole Russia-Ukraine situation, Russia's bluffing. Russia wouldn't dare. There's no way we're going to go to war. There's no way Russia's going to go to war. They could never defeat NATO. It's not going to happen. Well, anyone who has been deluding themselves that Russia is not serious really ought to get their head out of their butt and correct their erroneous belief. One does not move armored combat divisions 9,793 kilometers if one is not serious. Folks, things with Ukraine and with Europe slash NATO slash United States, they really seem staggeringly likely to go hot very soon. And by hot, I mean kinetic. I mean actual physical shooting war, I think, within 1 week. Now, I talked earlier, Russia had put forth two treaty proposals. One to NATO, one to the United States. Russia has said last week they expect written responses from NATO and from the United States to assure Russia has ironclad, legally enforceable security guarantees. And they said on Friday they expect those written answers by this Wednesday, tomorrow. Guess what the U.S. announced today? We will try, get this, try to have a written response for Russia by Friday the 21st. Now, if Russia does not get the answers, then we really have to wonder what they're going to do next. And given the relocation of these combat-ready units from 9,700 kilometers away, it isn't too hard to figure out what Russia's going to do next. The big question that a lot of people have is, will Russia go after Ukraine, or will Russia go after Europe? Now, there's a lot of speculation, but what's undeniable is the severity with which Russia takes its proposed security guarantees. The West, we in the United States and NATO, would be suicidal to scoff at this, because clearly the Russians are deadly serious. Nobody moves this much war-fighting gear that far on a bluff. Today, Russian government jet flew from Havana, Cuba, to Caracas, Venezuela. On that jet were Russian Ministry of Foreign Affairs diplomatic staff and Russian Ministry of Defense staff. Covert intelligence sources have told me the Russians discussed placement of Russian hypersonic missiles on Cuba, the construction of a new Russian naval base on Cuba with a large field to accommodate the Russian Air Force. In Venezuela, covert intel sources tell me the offer is allegedly going to be for bases for more Russian hypersonic missiles and airfields for Russian strategic bombers. The covert intelligence that I got says that Russia is offering very handsome amounts of foreign aid and long-term profitable leases for the land that they're going to need to put these missiles, build their airports, and build their naval base. They want cooperation from Cuba and Venezuela. Ladies and gentlemen, missiles at both those locations, Cuba and Venezuela, would put the entire United States within hypersonic missile range of Russian nuclear missiles within minutes. Now, I found out this afternoon that the White House and the Pentagon are in a virtual panic, because intelligence now says that as opposed to invading Ukraine, the intelligence says Russia will simply take Kiev, the capital city, overthrow the government, arrest them, and take them all back to Russia to stand trial where they can't be rescued by NATO. And after Russia takes Kiev and removes the government, they'll go home. The entire operation would be over and done before NATO could even respond. And at the Pentagon, their assessment is that the level of Russian hardware and troop strength, especially given the new arrivals in Belarus, would allow invasion and seizure of Kiev, Ukraine, the capital, within 4 hours. Over in Great Britain today, the UK Foreign Office was told to be ready to move into crisis mode at very short notice. They have the belief in the UK that some type of military invasion of Ukraine is imminent. Now, at 2:14 this afternoon, I received flash traffic bulletin from my former colleagues in the intelligence community who told me Russia has begun electronic warfare jamming in Northern Europe. They've begun active electronic jamming against NATO countries and the countries of Northern Europe, various military radar stations. Radio monitoring equipment became the target of Russia's electronic warfare. According to the Prime Minister of Norway, the situation began to deteriorate rapidly, and as of 2:14 p.m. this afternoon, there is the risk that Russian electronic warfare systems will completely cover the territory of a number of NATO countries and countries of Northern Europe with a sort of electronic cap, paralyzing any transmission of radio signals and seriously disrupting the operation of electronic equipment. According to the Norwegian Prime Minister, Russia is engaging in hybrid operations such as cyber attacks and signal jamming on NATO's eastern flank. At 2:28 this afternoon, NATO Chief Jens Stoltenberg said an attack against any member country's assets in space could lead to NATO Article 5 response. I'll be back after this.
God bless America.
PM here in the East Coast of the United States. Hal Turner back with you. NATO said today any attack against a member country's assets in space could lead to the invocation of Article 5 of the NATO Treaty, Mutual Self-Defense. This is according to NATO's first formal public space policy, which was released today. Yeah, they make it up as they go along. At 2:56 this afternoon, I received word that a total of four Boeing E-3B Sentry aircraft are now airborne continuously over the southern United States. Those are those AWACS aircraft with the big rotating radar dome. These four E-3B Sentry aircraft are over southeast Texas. They're over Louisiana, Mississippi, back and forth. And then they're running from South Carolina all the way out to Alabama. They are scanning the southern skies for attacks. And this is very interesting, because if you are familiar with America's missile defense radar, we've got over-the-horizon radar on Cape Cod, Massachusetts, that covers all the way up to the North Pole and all the way down to, you know, southern Florida, over Cuba, right down onto Venezuela. Then we've got more radar out west, Clear Air Force Base in Alaska, covers most of the West Coast. But the place where we have an opening in our over-the-horizon radar is along the Gulf of Mexico. That the missiles could come in there, and we wouldn't know it until it was too late to respond. We now have four E-3B Sentry aircraft airborne covering that airspace. What does that tell you about the situation we perceive ourselves to be in? And it gets worse. It gets very, very much worse. Ladies and gentlemen, I am sorry to have to report to you that the United States Navy has sortied almost every warship from the ports of San Diego, Pearl Harbor, Hawaii, and Norfolk, Virginia. Today, here on the East Coast of the United States, the USS Arlington, a San Antonio class amphibious transport, left Norfolk. The USS Iwo Jima, a WASP-class amphibious assault ship, left Norfolk. The USS Bataan, another WASP-class amphibious assault ship, left Norfolk, as did the USS Kearsarge, another amphibious assault ship. In addition, the USS Gunston Hall, which is a Whidbey Island class dock landing ship, left Little Creek, Virginia, as did the USS Carter Hall, another dock landing ship. Ladies and gentlemen, they were joined by the USS Arlington, a San Antonio class amphibious transport, which left Norfolk, and the USNS Medgar Evers, a Lewis and Clark class dry cargo ship, which also left Norfolk. In addition to the amphibious assault ships and dock landing ships that I outlined above, the USS James E. Williams, an Arleigh Burke-class Flight 2A guided missile destroyer, the USS Forrest Sherman, another Arleigh Burke class Flight 2A guided missile destroyer, the USS Mitscher, an Arleigh Burke class Flight 1 guided missile destroyer, the USS Gonzales, another Arleigh Burke class Flight 1 guided missile destroyer, and the USNS Arctic, a supply class fast combat support ship, all also departed from Norfolk, Virginia today. In addition to those warships, the USNS Joshua Humphreys, a Henry J. Kaiser class replenishment oiler, left Norfolk today, as did the United States Coast Guard cutter Tampa, which is a famous class medium endurance cutter, departed Portsmouth, Virginia. And here's the interesting one. USNS Zeus, a cable repair ship, left Yorktown, Virginia. Remember that ship, USNS Zeus, which they call a cable repair ship. And where did it leave from? Yorktown, Virginia. Do you guys know what's in Yorktown, Virginia? I'll tell you in a few minutes. In addition, the Military Sealift Command oil chemical tanker, the MT Evergreen State, filled up in Port Everglades, Florida, and departed today. Now, that was just on the East Coast. Oh, wait, I left one out. The USS Delaware, a Virginia-class Block 3 nuclear attack submarine, departed Groton, Connecticut today. That's just the East Coast. From Pearl Harbor, Hawaii, the USS Wayne E. Meyer, Arleigh Burke class Flight 2A guided missile destroyer, left Pearl Harbor. The USS Annapolis, a Los Angeles class Flight 3 688i improved attack submarine, left San Diego. The USS Shoup, an Arleigh Burke class Flight 2A guided missile destroyer, and the USS Curtis Wilbur, another Arleigh Burke class but a Flight 1 guided missile destroyer, also left San Diego today. The USS Tripoli, an America class amphibious assault ship, left San Diego today. And after all these ships departed San Diego, the United States Navy deployed on active patrol combatant craft, assault craft. They are Naval Special Warfare Group fast boats. And they deployed them on patrol in San Diego Bay. What does that tell you about what we think we might face? That they have put Naval Special Warfare fast boats in San Diego Bay and have put our warships to sea. All totaled today, ladies and gentlemen, 22 ships and 4 submarines were sortied. Now, I told you about 2 of those submarines, the USS Delaware from Groton, Connecticut, and the one that came out of San Diego, the USS Annapolis. But there's two more. The USS Nevada, an Ohio-class nuclear ballistic missile submarine, deployed today from Guam. And the USS Colorado, a Virginia-class Block 3 nuclear attack submarine, departed Faslane, Scotland. Ladies and gentlemen, you don't put this kind of naval power out to sea on the same day unless there is gigantic trouble coming. And I think it is. I'll be right back.
Gun control is the best thing you can do for crooks and gangsters. I want you to have nothing. If I'm a bad guy, I'm always going to have a gun.
Sammy Gravano, convicted mob assassin.
Gun control is not about stopping crime. It's about disarming America.
The police hardly ever stop crime. They're called after a crime has been committed. Politicians know this. So why are they passing gun control laws that take away your self-defense firearms?
Gun control is not about stopping crime. It's about disarming America.
The president and other politicians are protected by men carrying rifles and pistols with high-capacity magazines, but they're outlawing them for you and me. Do they think their lives are more important than ours?
Gun control is not about stopping crime. It's about disarming America.
The militia includes all adult Americans, but the government is forbidding us from buying or owning militia rifles. Why is the government so eager to disarm the people they're supposed to serve?
Gun control is not about stopping crime. It's about disarming America. To keep hearing these ads, send checks to Citizens of America, 2118 Wilshire Boulevard, number 447, Santa Monica, California, 90403, or learn more at citizensofamerica.org.
p.m. Boy, is the time flying. I will try to get some callers in, but I've got more to tell you. Let's take a look at these ships that departed today. Let's count. USS Tripoli, amphibious assault ship. USS Anchorage, amphibious transport dock. USS Arlington, amphibious transport. Iwo Jima, amphibious assault. Bataan, amphibious assault. Kearsarge, amphibious assault. Gunston Hall, dock landing. Carter Hall, dock landing. Why would we send 8 ships whose mission is to deposit troops and equipment from the sea onto land in an amphibious assault? Are we going to invade Europe? Ladies and gentlemen, it seems to me that the reason we are sending these amphibious assault ships and these amphibious dock ships is I think we are going to attempt to forcibly take Crimea from Russia and give it to Ukraine. What other amphibious landing would possibly achieve any results at all in the Ukraine situation? Unless, what if they're going to try to take Kaliningrad from Russia? Kaliningrad's a little patch of Russia separated from the main country that sits below Estonia and above Poland. And from Kaliningrad, Russian missiles can reach all of Europe. Why are we sending 8 U.S. naval vessels designed for amphibious landings and attacks if we're not going to make an amphibious landing and attack? And what do you think Russia would do if America tried to take Crimea from Russia? What do you think Russia would do if America tried to take Kaliningrad from Russia? The other thing is, how many Arleigh Burke guided missile destroyers? One, two, three. I'm going down the list here. Four, five, six, seven. Seven Arleigh Burke guided missile destroyers. And why four nuclear submarines, three nuclear attack submarines, and one nuclear ballistic missile submarine? That USS Nevada is an Ohio-class nuclear ballistic missile submarine. It has 192 warheads. I think we're going to war. I think we're going to war against Russia. There is absolutely no valid reason whatsoever for us to be doing this. I don't know what the transit time is from the east coast of the United States, across the Atlantic, through the Mediterranean, up through the Bosporus and Dardanelles into the Black Sea. I don't even know if they'd be foolish enough to go into the Black Sea, which is basically a giant lake that Russia controls like two-thirds of the land area around it, and everything, absolutely everything in the Black Sea can be hit by a never-ending supply of Russian missiles. If we send our vessels into the Black Sea, we are sending those crews to die. They would stand no chance at all. And where are those amphibious assault ships going? They carry U.S. Marine Expeditionary Forces, the most ferocious fighting forces on Earth. U.S. Marine Corps Expeditionary Units. Where are they going? Our federal government, the administration of Dementia Joe, is getting us into a shooting war with Russia in Europe. How much have you heard about this from ABC, NBC, CBS? How about from CNN, MSNBC, CNBC, Fox News Channel, maybe in the print media, Associated Press, United Press International, UPI, New York Times, LA Times, Chicago Tribune, any of them? Why are the American people being kept in the dark about how serious the situation is that we've put E-3B sentries up to protect us with radar from missiles coming in from the south? That we have sortied our destroyers, our nuclear submarines, and our amphibious assault ships? Why are the American people being kept in the dark? Why are the people in Europe not being told that an actual shooting war with Russia is days away? And it ain't like the old times, folks, where America was safe because it was separated from the rest of the world by two oceans and had friendly neighbors to the north and south. Those oceans don't mean diddly squat anymore. If we go to war, we're going to get hit here in America. You better get your preps ready. And on a personal note, get right with God. Stop praying. Even if you haven't prayed in 20, 30, 40 years, get on your knees in the bathroom where nobody can see you and pray. Get right with God. I told my wife tonight, you pack a go bag. I don't want to hear it. You pack a go bag. Because I believe New York City is going to be a target, and I want to be out of here. All right, it's 9:54. I'm going to try to take some phone calls. 201-771-3013 is the number to dial. Hi, caller, you're on the air. Make it quick.
Oh, hey, that was fast, Cal. I wasn't anticipating that.
Who is this?
This is Sam over in Baker City.
Pam and...
otherwise known as Little Birdie on your website.
Pam in Baker City, is that California?
No. Oregon.
Oregon.
Little California.
What's on your mind?
I was listening to you earlier. You were talking about where the first shot would be, and you were deciding whether Europe, Ukraine, things like that. If I was Russia, my first shot would be the U.S.
I understand that. You've got to take out the bully first.
Bingo. Anytime you're facing a big opponent and he's got a dozen little guys behind him, you take out the big guy first.
Yep.
And nobody seems to remember those two satellites put up in the air by North Korea.
Yeah.
The ones that have never given off a signal that everybody always figured were a bomb.
Right.
And they come right up over the Gulf of Mexico every day.
Yes, they do. Both satellites.
And if it was me, that's what I would take out first. You take out the big guy first.
Well, Pam in Baker City, I appreciate you calling. Thank you. Hello, caller. You're on the air. Who are you? Where are you calling from? No, you don't want to talk. What did I just do? My phones just went crazy. I don't know what just happened, but all my phones are blinking and I can't get any phone calls. So I don't know what that's about. So I'm not going to put any more callers on the air, which is okay because it's 9:56 p.m. and I'm like 90 seconds away from the end of the show anyway. Ladies and gentlemen, I have talked at length for months about prepping, you know, be prepared for emergencies and stuff. And I want to point out to you, the American people are completely ignorant of what is going on right now around the world. They hear bits and pieces of Ukraine and Russian aggression, but they're not being told that we sortied most of our Navy. They're not being told that we moved over 1,000 tanks to Europe. They're not being told that the Russians moved 7 trainloads of combat troops from 9,000 kilometers away to head toward Ukraine in the West. Everybody is blissfully unaware. When the crap hits the fan, all those people are going to panic. They're going to be running to the supermarket. They're going to be running to the gas stations. They're going to buy everything they can buy in food and gas and clothing. The stores are going to be wiped out within hours. If you aren't prepared, you're not going to get anything. So go in hock, run up the credit card if you have to, get food, get water, get extra medicine that you need to live on. Get a generator. Get fuel for your car and for the generator. Get communications gear, ham radio or CB radio. Something that you can keep in touch with other people, or a shortwave radio that you can listen to what's going on around the world from the comfort of your home. Because if you don't prepare and you suddenly find that we are in an outbreak of World War III and getting hit here, everybody else is going to be panicking too, and you won't get anything. Don't wait. Stock up now. And by the way, I don't sell any of this stuff. I'm not asking you to buy it from me. I'm not looking to make money off it. I'm trying to save your life. Tell your family, your friends, your neighbors about the Hal Turner Show. You get more information here in 1 hour than you get from the mass media all week. Thanks for listening. I'm Hal Turner. Good night from New York.